This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Jab Cross Hook, a fan-sided fight show with your hosts, Ian McMillan, Amy Kaplan, and Reed Wallach.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the UFC 276 edition of Jab Cross Hook. After a week off, it is myself, Amy Kaplan, Reed Wallach. We are back to talk about this week's stacked UFC card, UFC 276. And also, we have Bellator fighter Lucas Brennan will be joining us in about 15 minutes. And then we will be doing our classic bet draft for UFC 276. And this time, we'll be joined by Dan Stupp, who's a senior editor over at Action Network. So another four-person draft today. We got a loaded show. Excited for it. Hello, Amy. Hello, Reed. Amy, I believe you are reporting live right there from Media Day. Is that correct?
Yes, Media Day just wrapped. I'll give you a little bit of a view of what this room looks like.
Wow.
So fancy. Yep. So just wrapped. I've got lots of good information to share with you guys. Excited to talk.
Lots of good information. As always, usually gives you a little bit of an edge in the betting draft because you have some information that myself and Reed don't have. So we'll get into that, I'm sure. But as always, we start off these shows with asking what we drink. Amy, I assume you're not drinking anything since you're there at they're not handing out beers there at the media day, are they?
No, just my iced tea. That's it. Nothing fun. I haven't been able to drink in a while.
At least it's something.
Yeah.
Reed, what do you got? What'd you raid the beer fridge for today? Are you still back in the Bud Lights? Are you changing up the strategy?
Still Bud Lights right here. I'm not in an as exciting place as you guys. Ian, I know you're on vacation. You're still where you were vacationing. And Amy's obviously at media day, so I'm still in my room just hanging out. I go away tomorrow, though, so that's, like, more exciting. So I guess, like, this is, like, my night before.
Where are you going?
Family got a house out in the Hamptons, so living lavish.
Okay,
for the summer.
Reed, I didn't know this.
So little family summer house. So I'll be recording next week live from the beautiful sights of Southampton.
I didn't know we had a Hamptons guy on the show. I assume my invite to the Hamptons house just got lost in the mail. Eh?
Where was my invite to Halifax? Nothing there.
Well, I mean. Like an hour-long drive to Hamptons. I mean, if you wanted to join me for the 15-hour-long drive to Nova Scotia, you're more than welcome.
Maybe next time you go back, I'll join.
All my flights got canceled. It was a disaster. What was supposed to be flying from place to place in Canada has turned into a road trip. I drove 15 hours to Nova Scotia, 4 more hours to Cape Breton, 4 more hours back to Halifax, and then another 16 hours to Waterloo, Ontario, which is where I'm at right now. So I've driven a total of, I think, 48 hours in the past 10 days. So a lot of driving, but I'm on vacation. I have my vacation shirt on. I have my vacation painting in the background. And I don't have victory wine, even though I won the last draft. Because I've missed East Coast beer. So when I was back on the East Coast, I got some of my favorites. This is from a craft beer place in Fredericton, New Brunswick, called Picaroons, one of the OG craft beer places in Fredericton, where I went to school. And this is called a Yippie IPA, one of their signature beers. So very excited to get some East Coast beer back in me. So let's see. Hopefully this doesn't break the streak because I'm on a little bit of a run here. Not to brag, I think I'm on like a four bet draft run, but... Tasty. Nothing beats East Coast beer. All right.
Let's get into it.
Let's talk about before we bring on our guest, Lucas Brennan, who is a Bellator fighter. He'll be joining us here shortly. I do want to get into a little bit of a recap really quick because it wasn't a huge event. Obviously, we have a lot more to talk about the event coming up. But I missed it because I've been driving, like I said, all over Timbuktu. So what happened in the UFC this past week?
I mean, where do we start? There was a crazy main event. I would say in any other year, it could be a fight of the year contender, but we just had so many crazy fights this year that I think it's not going to be in that discussion, unfortunately. But there was some controversy, like always. Curious what you guys thought. I mean, obviously, Ian, you didn't see it, but Reed, I think you said you saw it.
Yeah, I bet Gamrot to beat Tsarukyan, like money line and by decision, and I was out while the fight was going on. So I missed the fight and I was like, just checking Twitter, like kind of seeing what was going on. It seemed like Gamrot like kind of just lost the decision. And then all of a sudden he won by unanimous decision. So it's like, oh, like, you know, something unanimous too. It wasn't like a suspect decision. I went back and watched the fight. Seemed like one and two were pretty clear Sarukian. Three, probably Gamrot. Four, Gamrot got knocked down, but then also controlled most of the round. And five, Gamrot was clear winner. So I guess they gave Gamrot 3-4-5, and he was the unanimous decision winner. Just watching on the first pass, though, I thought it could have went either way. Wouldn't call it a robbery either way. If Sarukian would have won, I would have felt like it was more of the just decision, if that makes sense. But giving it to Gamrot wasn't, like, insane. But really high-level technical fight. Sarukian kind of gassed out, I thought, in 4 and 5. And, you know, both, in my opinion, those are two top, you know, and borderline five, definitely well inside the top 10 fighters, both guys. So, you know, I think give Gamrot, I saw he called out Justin Gaethje. I think Gamrot rolls through Gaethje. So I think Gamrot proved he's a player in this division for sure.
I mean, I agree with the decision. I scored it 3, 4, and 5 for Gamrot. I'm so sick of people saying robbery when it's a close fight like that. Like, yeah. I can't even tell you a single fight where I felt like it was a real actual legitimate robbery. That just doesn't happen. It's not the case in close fights like that. So I was happy with it. I don't agree with you that he would run through Gaethje, but
that was high level grappling.
I would like to see. I'm sorry.
If he gets that to the cage, and I mean that cardio he put on, I don't think Gaethje could hold up. Gaethje could bomb him in the first round, but I left that fight very impressed with both fighters, to be honest.
I thought it was a great fight. Go back and watch it, Ian.
I certainly will. And I believe there was a big fight in the co-main event too. Was it Shavkat Rakhmonov? I believe submitted Neil Magny. How did that look? Is he a potential future champion in that division?
I was going to say somebody today at Media Day, and I should have written down who it was because now I can't remember. One of the fighters had said, I think it might have been Sean Strickland, which is scary that it was him, but I don't know. Don't quote me on who it was. Said that if he spoke English, that he would be a bigger star than he is right now. And I think that's so true because he's such a great fighter. But I think because it's hard for the audience to kind of connect with him because he's not able to kind of like trash talk and like be a personality. He just has to rely on his fighting. I definitely see future champion. Not, I'd say like 2 or 3 years, not like right away. But yeah, I think he's definitely going to be somebody we're talking about a lot in the future.
And just for some quick context, this guy is 16-0 in his MMA professional career, 4-0 in the UFC, and he hasn't even had a single fight go to decision. 16 fights, 16 wins inside the distance, and it's not like he favors one or the other. He has 8 knockouts and 8 submissions. So this guy is legit. Like I said, I haven't watched the fight yet, but I mean, a submission win over Neil Magny, certainly no joke. Reed, any thoughts on Rakhmonov?
Yeah, I think Amy hit the nail on the head, but I mean, you know, Neil Magny was supposed to put up a fight. You know, this was supposed to be like kind of a test, and he like just completely ruined him, like just destroyed Neil Magny. So, you know, if that's supposed to be a test, what happens when he starts like really facing some of the better fighters? You know, Neil Magny's more of a gatekeeper more than anything to like, you know, the rankings. So, you know, I think, you know, this guy could run all the way up to the top of the division, in my opinion. But I agree with like if he spoke English and was kind of a little bit more charismatic, which like it's not his fault, but you know, that's just how it is. You got to book the, you know, flashier fighters. So, you know, I think he is at a little bit of a disadvantage. And I think that's like an intriguing conversation, just like how you market yourself kind of lets you run up. I mean, we get into it, but like main event for this weekend, you know, Jared Cannonier, kind of more of a quiet fighter. Took him a while to finally, you know, break through. So, you know, I think that, you know, it's an interesting conversation.
And last fighter I want to bring up from this past weekend, Umar Nurmagomedov, brother of Usman Nurmagomedov from Bellator and the cousin of UFC lightweight champion, or former champion, I should say, Khabib Nurmagomedov. He also improved to 15-0, 3-0 in the UFC. Decision win, though, over Nate Maness. Thoughts on Umar Nurmagomedov? Is he as dominant as his cousin was in the UFC? Does he have an issue with maybe not being as exciting as some other fighters? Talk to me about Umar Nurmagomedov. Amy, start us off.
Ooh, this one's hard because I used to think that Khabib was boring. And then just out of nowhere, I kind of like figured it out. Like I figured out what everybody else saw. And so I think maybe that's the case with Umar, that I think he's just, I just need to like figure it out a little bit more. I think he needs to, almost the same kind of thing. He needs to be a little bit more charismatic. He needs to, he can't rely just on his fight. He needs to have a little bit of trash talk, or he needs to have some sort of personality that we can kind of attach to. And actually in his post fight, he was talking a lot about being a new dad. And like, I think that helped a little bit, because people were like, oh, he looks like he's like 19 years old. Like he's a dad. And it like kind of like endeared you to him. And that's what it was with Khabib. Like you kind of had to be endeared to him. But I can understand why people think he's a boring fighter. Just like a lot of people say Khabib was a boring fighter.
Yeah, I could not agree more with that opinion. I think like these fighters can wrestle and win their fights that way, which is fine. But if you do that, you do kind of need that character, that kind of something to hook people in. So then even though you are only wrestling these guys and just kind of getting boring decision wins, they still care. Because you have to make fans care one way or the other. You can either do that with exciting fights, or you can do that with your personality. Khabib did it because he put on the hat afterwards, and he used to, you know, do the whole Khabib smash kind of thing and send me location. And like he kind of built up his brand a little bit, which started to make people care, even though some of his fights weren't, you know, the most exciting fights in the world. So that would be what Umar needs to do. Reed, any final thoughts on Umar or any other fights from this past weekend?
Yeah, nothing really jumped off the page. I mean, Umar obviously just kind of absolutely rolled. I think he got a 30-25 scorecard also, just really like dominant performance. I'd like to see him face, you know, like really start kind of climbing the ranks. No disrespect to Nate Maness, but just need kind of a little bit of more marketable fight, in my opinion. So, you know, we'll see. I imagine, you know, he was hardly touched in that fight. So I think he'll be fighting, you know, probably closer to like, you know, September. I think he can get back in the ring. That's just my opinion. I have no idea what he's up to.
All right, so that wraps it up. So we are going to talk about UFC 276. But first, we have on our guest who is ready to join us, Lucas Brennan from Bellator. Just coming off a first-round submission win over Johnny Soto at Bellator last weekend. Undefeated 7-0. Lucas, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing? Congratulations on the win.
Thank you, man. I'm doing good. Doing good.
I always have to ask, after fighters have like crazy wins and highlight real wins, is that kind of what you pictured? Because you hear like fighters kind of manifesting how they want their fight to go. Did you kind of manifest that, or did you see it going a different way?
I mean, that was more or less the game plan, you know, not necessarily that exact finish or anything like that. You know, I wasn't pinpointing anything exact, but you know, I was hoping for a submission and looking for a submission. And, a lot of guys from Bellator were making a big deal that he'd never been submitted and whatever. So I was like, yeah, we'll make a point of that. But, no, I mean, I was just, you know, I'm just going out looking for a win more than anything, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, Lucas, so two fights already under your belt in 2022, both first-round submissions. And we were kind of just talking about this, like, what's the recovery time for a quick victory like that where, you know, you go through a full training camp, but maybe the fight you don't inflict as much, or you don't take as much damage or anything, kind of a quick fight. Are you trying to get right back in the ring? How many fights are you trying to do in 2022?
Nah, I still take, like, my month. Like, most of my recovery after is from the camp, if anything. Like honestly, mm-hmm. Me right now hurt before the fight also. Yeah. You know, I didn't get punched once, and yeah, all my recovery is going to be from that. I'll have one more fight this year. You know, I aim for three, you know, depending on when the first one of the year is, you know, maybe I get four. Like, that was always my plan, and then COVID kind of scrambled some things up, so I had some big gaps in the middle. But I mean, like three a year is plenty for me, you know, and I'm in no rush to try and do any more than that.
Now, Lucas, we are a betting show primarily, so we got to ask you, do you ever bet on the fights? Do you look at the odds? Have you ever bet on yourself even? Are you a bettor whatsoever when it comes to the sport?
No, my luck is not that good. I like looking at it. Like, I'll look at it every here and then. I get a lot of messages about how no one bets on me because the odds were a little too whatever. Like, I think this fight, they were all right. But the fight before this, like, it was -2,000. And they're like, yeah, like, I'm not putting any of it. I was like, okay, like, facts. Like, I'm not, I get it. But no, I don't bet a whole lot. I I know my luck's not that good. So, but I follow a little bit.
Yeah, your last three fights, I just looked it up. You closed at minus 800, minus 1500, minus 1500, minus 700, and minus 625. So even though you won
you're
all those
good.
Bets, you're making only a couple bucks if they're betting on you. So
I've got some kids that I coach too. They're like, yeah, we'll put some money down. I was like, I don't think you. It's okay, bro.
What about if you were an underdog though? Like, how do you think that would make you feel? Like, would you pay attention to the odds in the sense of like, oh shit, now people are kind of seeing something different, or is it more just a fun?
No, it is more fun than like I don't look at it. Like even though I'm not the underdog in all of these, I don't look at it for like a confidence boost. Like I just think it's like interesting. I think it's almost some of them are like almost disrespectful to the other guy. Like obviously he's going out there to beat me. Like that's his whole game plan, right? So like it really like kind of blows him out of the water. And like sure I win afterward, but still it's like shitty. No, if it was the other way around, you know, I think that would just mean that my competition's stepping up. And no, I think I'd probably just look at it again just for shits. But like it's not affecting how I feel or anything, you know.
Now I gotta ask you really quick just about your nickname, obviously, Skywalker. I assume you are a Star Wars fan, or is it just a play on your first name?
I mean both. I'm not as big of a fan as it makes it look. Like I do enjoy the shit, but like I'm not as diehard about it as it seems. It was more of something that happened here at our gym while I was a kid coming up, and I just kept it. Like I forgot about it, and in my first amateur fight, they're kind of like running through all your credentials, and they're like nickname, and I was like, ah, shit. But I was like that. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And I just kind of threw it in there, and I just kept it. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm a fan, but it's more of a play with words, I guess, than anything.
Would you ever change it? Do you think if it like, no,
nah,
would you, like superstitious to change it at this point?
Yeah, I have a handful of things that like I haven't changed that I want to change. I love my walkout song, but I will not change it. Like it's worked for too long now. Like I have a handful of things that I was like, y'all, like maybe I would like it more if it was this or if it was this. But also, it's worked every time, so I can't, you know, I can't play with it now. It's too late. The time to change it passed.
So you have wins by rear naked choke, anaconda choke. Is there a favorite one? Is there one that you kind of lean on? I know rear naked choke has been kind of the primary one, but is there one we haven't seen yet that you think is actually your most dangerous in the octagon?
I mean, most – I would find, like, even though I'm getting mostly rear naked chokes, I would find that I not necessarily a particular choke, but, like, any arm in variation from the front. Like, I did an anaconda a little while back, but, like, anything – anaconda, darce, even like Peruvians and such things are all my favorites. I just don't always find myself in the position to work them. You know, I had one that I was working on for like 2 years that I just did the fight before last, an assassin choke. But I've been tuning it for forever and finally did it. And they're like, oh, it's brand new. Like, it's not brand new. Like, it's, you know, I've been trying to force this for forever. So mostly like those arm in variations are the most fun. I just find that rear naked chokes have come easier. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned your walkout song, and I noticed on your social media that you have an insane record collection.
Yeah.
Is that your record collection? Because that's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's all mine. I have it's creeping up on like 900 maybe. No, it's a whole it's like 900 of them. I have the player, I have like a few hundred books and stuff. Like it's a full room of stuff. Like there's too much to even describe in a short amount of time. But it's heavily OCD. Everything's organized, super super and clean as shit. And so it's been building over the last like couple years.
Do you have like a prized record or a prized book that's like you're like?
I've got a couple that are like. Probably the most, not necessarily even the most expensive, but the most like worthwhile or would be worth a lot. Yeah, I got like a wall of them because I'm decisive. I've got like a particular setup of like 10 or 15 that are like the most like I'd never get rid of them. Like I don't sell any of them anyways, but I would not get rid of them. Like they took forever to find, and I'll definitely hang on to them and like first pressings and things like that. But not one in particular. I'm way too indecisive. My top five has 20 in it, so.
Is there anything on your wish list that you're still looking for that maybe somebody watching has?
Oh, shit. Off the top, I don't know. I do have a list because I'll forget things. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm still missing plenty. My list continues to grow, unfortunately, as I find more stuff. I've just developed my Spotify playlist into a physical format. I've just moved it into, like, I can actually hold it. No, off the top of my head, I don't. But anything is welcome.
That's what I was going to ask next about your Spotify playlist, because you seem like you're well in tune. Do you have one? Is there one like fans could find that they could listen to?
Oh, you just look up, the profile would come up. But I've got like 100 playlists on there, and they're like wildly specific. But I've got a bunch for the gym. I got different, like I'm at the gym right now. Once I'm done, I'll go hook myself up. But like I got different ones for everyone. Depends on who shows up to class, what class I'm running. Like everything's very specific for the day and like fight day. Like my fight, I have a fight day playlist. I have everything for specific. Just like just everything's just kind of where.
And I just have a random question. Then the boys can get back to asking you about fighting. You have an orange cat. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because I have an orange cat. I got to know the cat's name.
Yeah, he's a little douchebag. It's awesome.
A boy? A boy cat?
Yeah.
Mine too. Cool. All right. I just had to. I was like,
opponents have.
What was that? Sorry.
He's hurt me more than my last 7 opponents have.
Amazing. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. This is definitely a pro cat podcast. I have a cat myself, so love to hear it. So what's next, Lucas? What's kind of give me like kind of your short-term and long-term goals in the sport?
I mean, more or less like you know, short-term, just looking for another fight. You know, I'd like to get another fight in by the end of the year. I've hated the. There's some gaps in between my fight, like 6, 7, 8 months from either everything closing because of COVID or me having COVID. So, I'd like to keep my schedule how it's been going and continue to do like every, you know, 4 or 5 months have a fight coming in. And long term, I mean, as of right now, I'm just looking to continue doing that. Like, I have no one to call out. I'm not trying to talk a whole lot of shit or anything and make a big deal out of anything. I want to continue winning fights. And honestly, once this contract's done, because this question seems to come up a lot, once this contract's done and I sign later on with Bellator, I would then start knocking on some doors and then really trying to get in the rankings and whatnot. But it's something I don't worry myself with yet. You know, I think everyone's end goal, right, if they're really in this to succeed, right, would be to get the belt, right, later on. But that's just, it's not something that I worry myself with at the moment, you know, because things change. You know, like when I first got into Bellator, the rankings were ridiculously different and who had the belt was different and everything, you know, everyone's going somewhere else, right? The more fights I've won, the more I've seen either people retire, they move weight classes, right? So what good is it going to do me right now to say I want to fight so-and-so for the belt if by the time I'm there, they're retired, they've moved to the UFC, gone wherever, you know? So really my only goals right now is just continue winning fights and continue doing so in the fashion that I'm doing so, you know, like respectfully, like I have no shit to talk and I don't really have anyone to call out. I love what I do. And so I just want to continue doing that the way I have.
Something like boxing or WWE? Because Valerie Lareda just announced today that she signed with WWE. Yeah. Like, is that something you'd be interested in doing? Because Bellator seems no.
No, but Bellator treats me exceedingly well. They treat me better than they should. And while I think I have better boxing than I've needed to show, I have no interest in moving over to anything else like that. And I like my brain cells, and I like having them. And so I'll continue to fight the way I fight. And nah, man, WWE, man, I just not, I'm too socially awkward. I gotta go in there and talk to more people. I'm good.
Now, obviously, you just talked about your boxing. You haven't really had to show that off really so far throughout your career. Obviously, very few holes in your game, at least through your first seven fights. But is there an aspect of your game right now that you think, you know, an area that you have to improve on, or within the next couple months you're thinking of, oh, there's, you know, this one thing that I should be working on before my next fight? Like I said, obviously very little weaknesses so far, but is there any areas that you're going to focus on kind of in the next couple months?
I mean, I've continued to focus on and build on things that I haven't actually had to show, if that makes sense. Like, you know, obviously I'm not getting taken down by anyone at the moment. I'm not getting put into dangerous situations at the moment. I'm 100% on my takedowns on the last seven fights. You know, I'm not really getting stuck on the feet or anything like that, but I work more boxing than I do jiu-jitsu or wrestling. You know, like I do more striking than anything else as a preventative, you know, like I do it because I want to be good at it in the event that I need it. But, you know, my game plan stays the same. You know, I work a lot off bottom, right, in the event that I fight a high level wrestler, right, and get dumped. But, you know, it's all preventative. You know, I try to work everything as best I can and not be too confident in my jiu-jitsu. You know, it's no secret that it's my game plan at this point. You know, it's definitely not a secret that that's what I'm going out there to do. But there's no reason for me to get complacent with what I have with it and just kind of assume it's going to work for forever. Because, you know, there's high-level jiu-jitsu guys. And I, you know, continue to move all around and make sure that if I'm going to have to show off anything that I haven't had to use before, that it's not going to be at a white belt level, you know.
Mm. Lucas, I know you're part of Bellator, but obviously UFC 276 this weekend, featherweight title fight, Volkanovski Holloway 3. Any opinion, any thoughts? I know you're not a betting man, but Volkanovski, of course, the favorite. Any thoughts on the fight? Are you keeping up with it? Any ideas?
I'm going to watch. I like Holloway more, but like, it's hard to bet against Volkanovski, you know, like, yeah. He won the last two, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I thought one was questionable, but like still, I do like Holloway a lot though. So it's hard. Personally, I want Holloway to win, but objectively, you know, it's probably Volk's fight. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch. I don't watch a whole lot of fights, if I'm being totally honest, but it's a pretty big card, so I'll probably watch. Unfortunately, Volk's probably got it, but I'm going to hope for the best.
Is there a reason why you don't watch too many fights?
No. I found that naturally I watched more growing up when I wasn't fighting, and that since I started fighting, I watch less. I watch when certain people are fighting. Like I train with Bryce Mitchell, so when he fights, I watch. I train with TJ Brown when he fights, I watch. The guys from James Krause's, my guys, like when they fight, but like, I haven't really gone out of my way to watch. Like I miss a lot of fights all the time now. My dad watches all of them, so like if there's something he's like he thinks I should see, you know, he'll send that my way. But otherwise, like, I'm just kind of like, I'll see the results in the morning. Let me finish my show. At some point when I started fighting, I almost like aged out of it and just kind of stopped watching quite as much. No particular reason. It just kind of, if it's something that piques my interest, I'll watch, but I don't know.
Interesting. All right, well, Lucas, I really appreciate you coming on here once again. Congratulations on your win last weekend. Best luck in the future, and of course we'll be tuning in and rooting you on. So thanks again for coming on.
Awesome. I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right,
interesting stuff. Good to hear from Lucas. 7-0. Obviously no fight yet announced in the future, but we will be keeping track of that. Official friend of the program, Lucas Brennan.
Yeah, I mean, he's been massive favorite. He's been like rolling guys as we lose Amy. But
we lose Amy.
And she's back.
Amy's back.
Sorry. Oh, he left.
Yeah.
Oh, were you frozen there at the end? I didn't even notice.
Thanks.
Yeah, you kept a great face. You just looked like you were like intently listening, like saying goodbye and everything.
It was a great. Sometimes when your screen, like when anyone's screen freezes, like it's in a bad spot, like you get stuck with a bad face. But no, you just look like you're listening intently. So.
But he probably thought it was a bitch. He's like, she didn't even say goodbye. What a bitch.
But no, yeah, we signed off with Lucas. So we are just waiting on our next guest, and then I think we'll get into the UFC 276 draft. Amy, don't want to give away too much here from what you got from Media Day, because obviously you might be using some of these strategies in the draft. You don't want to give us any hints, but any big takeaways from Media Day today?
I mean, I do have two things that happened at Media Day that I don't think are like going to give anything away. Max Holloway and Israel Adesanya were both given their USADA jackets. So they tested clean 50 times. So they get like a nice like Letterman's jacket. So they did that ceremony today, which is kind of fun to watch. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's cool to see how important it is. And, you know, the people who give the tests, they kind of could tell like some stories about the fighters. And, Jeff Nowinski is the one that gave Adesanya his jacket. He mentioned that after his last fight that Adesanya was like coming out of the octagon. And he's like, where's my jacket? Where's my jacket? So it's kind of cool to see like that they get excited about it, you know? So that happened.
Anything else for Media Day at all?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I don't want to give too much away. I guess one worthy note was Sean Strickland being Sean Strickland. He came and completely roasted pretty much everybody in the room. There was probably a good 30 media today. And he picked people out individually and either made fun of what they're wearing or what kind of car he thinks they drive or like what kind of hobbies they have. So it was kind of fun. So if you have a chance, you should go back and watch that.
Amy, unrelated to the winner of the draft, but is it Sean Strickland, Alex Pereira? Is that a number one contender match, you think? Assuming if Izzy wins, let's say, do you think Strickland versus Pereira, the winner, gets it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that like the vibe you're getting from Media Day?
They definitely seemed like that was what they were fighting for.
I agree, yeah. So.
I just noticed how dark it's getting for Ian. He's like slowly. It looks like one of those like old school 1940s like cop shows where he's like being questioned.
Yeah, he's about to be blinded by the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is obviously not my normal setup, but actually, like, now that the sun is setting, now it's directly in the window, and when it comes directly in the window, oddly enough, the way lighting works, everything else is getting really dark. So, and now I have the sun be directly in my eye. So I might get up and fix that when I get a chance here, but I believe our guest is ready. We are going to jump into a UFC 276, our bet draft, our weekly bet draft. This time we are joined by Dan Stupp of Action Network. Dan, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I don't know if Reed has... Reed, did you explain the basic concept of the bet draft to Dan?
Yeah, I gave like a pretty base level analysis. I think Dan got the gist of it, but if you want to explain it for viewers, and so Dan, just in case, he makes sure he understands how it works.
Of course, yes. It is a snake draft. We are betting drafting fighters for this weekend's UFC 276 card. So when a fighter is drafted, nobody else can pick that fighter. And we will go through three rounds. It'll be a snake draft. So whoever goes first goes last the next round. Whoever goes last the first round has a back-to-back pick. And we are using betting odds. And then at the end of the card, whoever finishes up the most units, or if we all do terrible, whoever is down the fewest units based on our draft picks wins the draft. I will say I think I am now the four-time back-to-back-to-back-to-back defending champion of the UFC Bet Draft. We'll see if anyone can take me down this week. But that's basically what it is. And I get to pick the order as a defending champion. Dan, any questions before we get started here?
Nope, I'm good to go.
All right. What order do I want to go? I think I am going to go first. I went first last time. I'll just keep that up. Reed, I'll make you go second.
Okay.
Dan, you will go third. And then Amy, you go fourth, which means you then get the first pick of the next round as well. We did not clarify this. Is the first round prelims only, or is it all mixed in?
I say let's just mix it in.
Mix it in. I think we've thrown away that rule of first round being prelims only. So we'll just – everything is available on the board right away. And I am going to start – so first overall pick – I'm just going to tell the producers, and I'm going to filibuster here for a second because it is in one of the two title fights. It is in the co-main event. Give me the underdog in Max Holloway against Alexander Volkanovski. I believe the odds at WinBet plus 155, so I'm going with the underdog in this one. To be honest, I actually like a lot of underdogs this weekend. And this is actually goes against my normal strategy. I've talked about my strategy in the past of when rematches happen in the UFC, I generally almost always go with the fighter who won the last fight, or in this case, as a trilogy, the fighter who won the first two fights. But I just think when you're looking at it from an odds perspective that the first two fights were too close to justify how big of a favorite Volkanovski is, especially the second fight, which a lot of people thought Max Holloway won. It was a split decision. And I expected after those losses to Max Holloway kind of take a step back and not look as good. But he kind of looked, you know, as good as ever in you know, two most recent fights. Set the record for most strikes landed in a fight against Calvin Kattar, 445. Yeah. Strikes in a fight. Like, I just think if we're looking at it from an odds perspective, I think Holloway has the value, even though Volkanovski probably should be favored. The first two fights were just too close of a call. A couple things go the opposite way, or the judges see things a little bit differently. This series is 1-1 and not 2-0. So, first overall pick of the draft, I'll take Max Holloway in the co-main event.
Yeah, I thought Holloway won the second one, to be honest. I was on Holloway, so maybe I'm a little biased, but I think there's merit behind the pick. I do think Volkanovski might be hitting another level also. But do we think there's any chance, I guess if someone takes Volkanovski, like any chance there's a finisher or it's destined to go the distance again? I think the odds are shaded towards going the distance again.
I would love to see it go the distance again. I think too, with Max, you know, he knows that this is going to be his last chance. He's not going to get this chance again. So I think that, not to say that he wasn't trying those first times, but there's an element of like desperation there, which we can't underestimate.
Things are going to get really crazy. It's going to get crazy if Max wins then, because it kind of blows up that whole three fight series. We could be running this back 8 or 9 times. So we talked about who's going to win it out of 10 times. We may get the chance to find out.
Dan, did you think it was the correct decision in the second fight? Did you think Holloway won that fight, or did you think it should have gone to Volkanovski?
I don't know. I mean, I scored it for Holloway, but it wouldn't. I mean, I could see it going either way. I think probably, you know, looking back at it and stuff, Volkanovski was probably, you know, the rightful winner. But again, I think they fight 10 times. And I think Holloway wins enough times to justify, you know, taking a flyer on him at plus 160, I think it is.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. Okay, what did I even say for the order? I think it's Reed, I believe you are picking second. So go ahead if you're ready.
Yeah, it's going to me. I'm going to go main card. I'm going to go Sean Strickland. I believe it's even money right now. Yeah, even money. I get Alex Pereira's, you know, shooting up, and he has this decorated kickboxing career, and he beat Israel Adesanya in kickboxing, but this is mixed martial arts. Totally different game here. And, you know, Pereira, we have it on there. He's 2-0 in the UFC, 5-1 in his MMA career. I just think Strickland's a more complete fighter. We've seen him put on a pace over 5 rounds in the past. There's only 3 rounds, but Pereira hasn't really been challenged just yet in the UFC. And I think Strickland's a more complete fighter. He's incredibly durable. I just think, yeah, at this price, you have to take Strickland. If, you know, Pereira doesn't knock him out in the first 5 minutes, what is this fight going to become? We know Strickland's a more proven commodity. So even money, Sean Strickland all day. This is a no-brainer for me.
I mean, I had Sean on my list too, just because of the underdog status. But I think people really highly underestimate Alex, consistently underestimate him. Mm-hmm. Sean was far down on my list. He was like, in case you guys took my other ones. But I just think there's a reason the odds are so close here. Huh? It's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, and obviously for people who don't know, Alex Pereira, decorated kickboxer, only 5-1 right now in his MMA career, but 2-0 inside the UFC. So we'll see how that shakes up this weekend. All right, if no other comments about that one, maybe someone's going to be on the other side. We'll see. Dan, you are up for your first round pick.
Well, you guys have taken two of my favorite picks for the weekend, so I'm going to have
to. That's part of it. It's gamesmanship out there.
I was like, okay, I got my 4. I'm all good. But, I'm actually going to go with Jalen Turner here. I got a much better price earlier in the week. I think there's still some value there. I still think it's the right play. The height and reach advantage is obviously a huge thing, but I think he's facing a guy in Riddell who is very hittable. I think Turner also has got kind of some wild cards working in his favor. He's fought on a lot of pay-per-view cards. I think he's the type of fighter who really feeds off that type of kind of that environment. I think he's at his best when he gets all hyped up, and I think he's high enough on the card. The crowd's going to be there. I think he's going to get a really nice pop, and you know, we've just been seeing him getting better and craftier every time out, so I have no reason to think that won't be the case here. I've got him winning this, you know, maybe 70-80% of the time, so even at, you know, minus 155, I really like a bet on him.
Friend of the program, Jalen Turner. we've had him on the past, and I could tell from your immediate reaction, Amy, that that might have probably actually, I can guarantee, was one of your picks. So there you go. So, yeah, so Dan, we stole a couple picks from you, but then it looks like you went right back and stole one from Amy. So, yeah, you won't see me arguing against a Jalen Turner pick, like I said, friend of the program. So we'll be rooting for him for sure. Which brings us to the final pick of the first round. Amy, you got back-to-back picks. I know Jalen Turner was just stolen from you. Hopefully you can scrounge up a second one because you do got back-to-back because it's a snake draft. But what's your first pick? What's your first round pick?
Okay, so I have not been doing so well in these drafts. And part of that was because I was not thinking with my heart. I was thinking with my head.
Okay.
And I'm trying to type while I'm talking, which is, oh my gosh, I cannot spell this person's name for the life of me. I'm telling the producers what it is. So I'm going to go with my heart again because I have stopped doing that. I'm just going to go with my heart. Jalen was my biggest piece of my heart, and that was stripped from me. But I'm going to go with Gabe Green. Plus 145, I believe. I think he's another one that gets really underestimated, and I think going up against who he's going up against has got like this aura of like star on the rise. And I don't know. I can see Gabe kind of giving Ian a little welcome to the UFC. So that's where my heart is. A little bit lesser piece of my heart, but still.
Yes. Because he is fighting Ian Garry. He's not going to, unfortunately, you know, beat me. But Ian Garry is – he spells Ian the wrong way, unfortunately. He doesn't have the second I in there. So he's not a brother in a name. I got to toss
the
second
I. But
yeah. Yes. Maybe. Is it? I don't know. I don't know.
No. It's like Scottish.
Mine's Scottish, not Irish. So is that the difference? Is one Irish and one Scottish? That would kind of make sense. So Gabe Green off the board. He's the second final, I guess the co-main – event of the prelims. Jalen Turner's in the main event of the prelims, the prelim main fight. So there we go. Let's wrap up the first round. Did we all go underdogs? No, Jalen Turner was a favorite. So three of the four picks in the first round are underdogs. I went Max Holloway in the co-main event. Reed went Sean Strickland at even money, just a slight underdog in that one. Dan went Jalen Turner, minus 155. And Amy finished it off with Gabe Green, a plus 145. Amy, I thought you were going to say that you're going to change your strategy and you've been losing lately because you picked so many big underdogs. I was expecting a favorite, but you're going to stick to your usual strategy of underdogs. I like it quite a bit. We are back to now the first pick of the second round, which is your pick again because of the snake draft. Amy, are you ready with your first pick of the second round?
Yes. And, you know, I was because Jalen is a favorite, so he was going to be my favorite of my picks. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going back to underdogs. So again, going with my heart here, I'm going Pedro Munhoz, who is fighting Sean O'Malley. I think he's a sizable underdog, and I think that's silly that he's that big of an underdog. I mean, obviously Sean O'Malley's Sean O'Malley, so there's a reason why that's it is what it is. But I think that Pedro is not the type to believe that hype and like live up to that hype. He's more of a, I'm just going to go out there and fight. He's face like, gosh, some of the greatest fighters.
I think we lost Amy.
We lost Amy for a second time. I will say while Amy tries to reconnect here that was one of my picks.
That was also going to be one of mine.
Me too. Maybe I should have taken Pedro instead.
Yeah, while we wait for Amy, I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Sean, I am like, I think I'm like, you're either with Sean O'Malley or against Sean O'Malley. I'm in the against camp. Like, I don't – when he fights a real fighter that could actually stand and throw with him, like, Pedro Munhoz has never been finished in his career. I know he's – what is he? He's 5 inches shorter, 7 inches less of reach, but I think Munhoz could definitely hang with him, throwing some of those leg kicks. Sorry, Amy, I was kind of – I was defending – I was making the case for you while you were reconnecting.
Thank you.
We all agreed with you, by the way.
Good. Okay, good. Because the Apex – Wi-Fi here is shit, so I keep getting logged off. I apologize. Yay, Pedro.
Yeah, and the one point I wanted to say, I was going to say when I was going to pick him, was that when Sean O'Malley lost his fight, if I recall correctly, he lost that fight to Vera, and one of Vera's biggest weapons was low kicks, I believe. And that's one of Pedro Munhoz's biggest weapons that he can use in this fight. So, yeah, you stole my pick, Amy.
Yay, I love stealing picks.
Okay, so Dan, it is back to you for your second pick. I don't know if Pedro Munhoz was one of yours as well. Hopefully not, because that would have been three of your picks stolen. But who do you got for the second round?
Okay, I'm going in strict fade mode here, and I'm going with Jim Miller. I was hoping that this would have been lined a little closer than it is. I think a lot of my rationale for a while, I was picking Joe Lozon over Donald Cerrone, kind of applies to this fight. You know, obviously, being at welterweight, I think a lot of people feel like that's going to benefit Cerrone without the weight cut. I think he's already been through two weight cuts. I think he's probably a little annoyed that he hasn't fought already. I just really kind of question his motivation in this fight. But I think there's a lot of intangibles kind of beyond just the technical breakdown of the fight that really works for Jim Miller here. And this could be me just getting way off base here and reading too much into it. But we know these guys are fighting for the record for the most career UFC wins. And I think for a guy like Jim Miller, like, that's something he can really hang his hat on. He's a durable guy. He's been around forever. He wants to fight at UFC 100, 200, 300. He was never really close to a title or becoming a champion. This is something he can really kind of make his thing. And the fact that he's talking about fighting beyond this one, but to be able to claim the record while knocking off the guy that you're tied with, I just think it brings a lot of motivation. I think it's a cool factor of the fight. I think a guy like Jim Miller kind of feeds off those type of things. I think both these guys are going to get a nice pop, and this is going to be a good crowd pleasing fight. But I really like Jim Miller here. At minus 220, I'm not quite as excited about it. But I think he wins this thing, you know, 80% of the time, if not more. I just really question Cerrone's motivation for this. I just really like Jim Miller in this spot.
Love that pick. I've been on record in the show being a huge Jim Miller fan. I, like, would die on the hill that he might be the most underrated UFC fighter of all time. Obviously, he hasn't gotten, you know, the household, you know, recognition with his name because he hasn't, you know, fought for a title and all those things. But you're talking about longevity. You talk about exciting fights. You talk about, you know, the amount of wins, which you mentioned. Like, Jim Miller is an OG legend of the sport that is still performing at a high level still to this day. I love Jim Miller, one of my favorite fighters of all time. Yeah, he was possibly going to be a pick of mine. So there's another potential one stolen from me. So
yeah, you guys know twice I was on the Joe Lozon train. I was betting him round one knockout, all that stuff. So, you know, Miller, obviously a much, you know, now he's the favorite, you know, made Cowboy the underdog. So I'm going to have to find, you know, probably not going to lay it with Jim Miller, but I'll probably take like inside the distance round one, same stuff as Lozon, and hope I could cash one. I think I saw he's like plus 400, 500 first round finish. So I think Jim Miller is clear, like, I know they fought about the same amount of fights, but it's two different calibers right now, given their recent form. So I agree with the pick.
All right, Reed, that brings it to you for your second round pick.
Yeah, I believe the fight right before Jim Miller, I'm going with, might butcher this one, but Dricus Duplessis, small favorite against Brad Tavares. And Tavares got a split his last time out, wasn't super impressed, and I'm afraid he can't handle the offense from Duplessis. All of his wins inside the distance, all, you know, mix of knockout and submission. Tavares have been knocked out three times. He's been knocked out by guys like Edmund Shabazian. I know he went to decision with Izzy before, but I just think Duplessis, this guy brings a lot of offense. Maybe he tires out, but I think he gets him out really quickly. I think Duplessis is kind of going to go on a bit of a run. So at this price, I can't justify Tavares except for maybe he just kind of weathers the storm and hangs on for a gross split. But I think Duplessis gets a finish here, so I'll take him as a small favorite.
I agree with that 100%. The one thing I keep coming back to is just don't bet against Brad Tavares. I've learned that lesson the hard way many times, but that doesn't really mean anything other than just that's something you've kind of learned.
Because he's going to go to split decision and you leave it up to the judges. And you never know.
In Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that brings it down to my final pick of the second round. I will say I got to bring this up. V in the chat said, thoughts on Gregor Gillespie. When I saw that, I was like, is he fighting this week? Like, I didn't think he was. He's not.
No.
Any thoughts on Gregor Gillespie?
Cool hair.
Nothing off the top of the head. Wasn't really in the circle. Yeah.
Not exactly a fighter I've been studying this week, unfortunately. So.
He's got good tattoos, right? I don't know.
Good tattoos, good hair, and I think we'll leave it at that.
Is this the same person who commented a couple weeks ago about a fighter said this with thoughts on whatever?
I don't think it was, but there was. I think it might have been this person, but there was a commenter a couple weeks ago
keep
that
doing
did,
that every week
did the same thing. They were like, give me your thoughts on this fighter. And I thought, and I was like, is this person fighting? No, I'm not falling for that trick twice. All right, I will go next. The final pick of the second round. Going to go Brian Barberina as a slight underdog against Robbie Lawler here. I don't have a lot of like stats or like technical kind of talk to back this up, but I just think Robbie Lawler is just kind of done, to be honest. 40 years old, even in his last win against Nick Diaz, he just didn't look like the Robbie Lawler of old. But then again, I say these kinds of things, and it's come back to bite me. It's come back to bite me against like Andrei Arlovsky. I have a bias I can't shake against old fighters, even outside of Jim Miller, who is still young at heart, in my opinion. But I'll take a much younger Brian Barberina who's still hungry. Robbie Lawler, to me, when I see him fight his last few fights, he looks to me like a guy who's just going in there to get a paycheck. Like I said, even in his win against Nick Diaz, he just doesn't have that fire. He's not the Robbie Lawler that we saw go win the title. And for that reason, with him being a slight favorite, I just got to fade him. He's just one of the guys that I just got to fade at this point. So, and I like Brian Barberina. I think he doesn't kind of get the credit he deserves. So I'll take Brian Barberina as a slight underdog.
I just have to point out that Brian Barberina had really amazing nail polish. He had like a 4th of July themed nail polish, and Izzy also had a French manicure. So there was some really nice nails today at Media Day, for what it's worth.
Do you think that helps their chances on Saturday, Amy?
I mean, Brian Barberina's hands have fireworks on them, so that's got to be a sign for something.
Yep.
I don't know what the French nails mean, but we'll find a meaning for it.
All right, so that wraps up the round two. Let's recap the picks so far here. I'm rarely going with two underdogs. I've switched my strategy recently to more favorites, and it's worked out for me. I'm going against that strategy today, even with my next pick. But I went Brian Barberina plus 100 in the second round. Reed went Duplessis plus minus 125. Dan went Jim Miller minus 220, pick close to my heart. And Amy with her big underdog, Pedro Munhoz, plus 225. So that brings us to the third and final round. This is a pick that I didn't plan on making for my final pick, but it's a pick that I'm now forced to because the picks that I had ranked above it have all been selected. I think for the most part, we've all kind of been on the same page this draft, which is especially rare. Usually me and Reed are on different sides of at least one fight. We'll see if that still happens by the end of this draft, but I'm going to go Jessica Ai as another big underdog.
He missed it. He was shadow boxing back there for a minute right there.
Who is it? I can't see. Who is it?
Oscar from Mac Life. Oscar, do some shadow boxing. Yep. There you go.
Boom.
Yep. I'm betting the other guy.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, but I'm taking Jess Guy against Macy Barber here. I don't know if I think I just have kind of a bias against Macy Barber because of the way that she fought against Roxanne Modafferi back in the day. But I don't think she's deserving of being a minus 250 favorite. Well, this is another pick, two picks in a row. The picks I had had like stats to back it up were all taken. But Macy Barber, she just didn't impress me. She was like this highly touted prospect. She was going to be the next big thing. And then she went out and lost to Roxanne Modafferi. Like that was a tough display. I think she needs more experience. I think when she fights girls like Jessica Ai, who've been around a while and have very good fundamentals, that's when she loses. Like, she can beat these more inexperienced fighters where she can use her natural ability to beat them. But I think Roxanne showed that if you just have very, very solid fundamentals, you can beat her. And I think that's what Jessica Ai has. So I'll take a shot at her at 2-1. Once again, probably like Macy Barber should be favored, but 2-1, I'll take a shot. Any thoughts? Anyone on the other side? We'll see.
I'm on the other side.
I have some thoughts, but it'll wait for the other side.
All right. Fair enough then. So Reed, it is back to you for your final pick of the draft in round three.
Oh, shoot. I thought it was my turn and I revealed my pick in the chat. Don't look.
Uh-oh.
Don't steal.
I won't take who it is. Let me see if it was who. No, it wasn't who I was going to take. Okay, so you're good. I also forgot to send it in, but I'll filibuster. So I have a favorite and I have an underdog I would give. So I'll just go with the underdog for the sake of going for the content. And if he wins, I want to be on the side of it. I'll take Jared Cannonier at 3-1.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not like super confident. I'm not going to call like confident, put my foot on the ground, say he's going to get the outright upset. I just see a path to victory. And who's the only guy in the UFC who beat Izzy Adesanya? It was a lightweight Jan Blachowicz. Cannonier fought at heavyweight, light heavyweight. He's going to be big inside the cage. I know he's a little bit older. He has given up reach, but he's someone that could close the distance maybe a little bit better than other fighters have in the past at middleweight because of his, I guess, unnatural path to getting to middleweight. I just think, I don't know, I'll take a shot. I think, like Ian, you even said, like, you didn't like how Izzy looked in his last fight against Robert Whittaker, kind of boring. Like, what if Cannonier lands one? Like, he pushed a pace against Kelvin Gastelum for the most part, knocked out Derek Brunson. I know this is Israel Adesanya, it's a step above, but it's a crazy price. Like, I doubt he'll get a decision nod, but, like, what if he stuns him early and, you know, kind of takes over? I don't know. It's a betting draft. I'm gonna end up – I can't bet on Izzy at this price, so, you know, I'll bet on Cannonier at the last second because I know no one's going to be on him.
I don't hate that pick, to be honest. Like, I feel, and I think I tweeted this yesterday, and like everyone freaked out. I said that I felt like there was going to be a big shakeup, and everyone thought that I knew something. And I was like, I'm just saying, I have like a gut react. I like feeling that there's like something big that's going to happen, and I feel like that could be what it is. And I had that feeling ahead of Cyborg Nunez and ahead of Nunez Pena. So.
What brought me to it more is where, like, Cannonier's background of being a light heavyweight and a heavyweight, it just makes me maybe it will follow that Jan Blachowicz path. I know I'm not comparing the two fighters. I just kind of see that sort of path to victory, kind of being the bigger man.
Yeah, I respect a big underdog bet, as always. It's not what I wanted to take, but I won't argue against it too much because, yeah, Izzy's obviously shown not a lot of holes, but he's not, you know, unbeatable for sure. All right,
Dan, are you on the Izzy side or the Cannonier side?
I actually have Izzy in a parlay with Sean O'Malley. We were talking about that fight. I had that fight on the other side.
Okay.
But I got much better prices like on Sunday and Monday where
I
feel like if you were going to bet him at this point, it's probably time to start looking at the
other fan side.
It's Jose, former editor, fan side editor. Sorry.
Hi, Jose.
I am now the last.
All right, Dan, that brings us to you for your final pick of the draft. Who do you got?
I'm sticking, man, I didn't plan for it to be this chalky, but it's staying pretty chalky. I'm actually going to go with Macy Barber here. I hate to bet folks just to fade the other person, but you had talked to that. You didn't like how Barber looked against Roxanne, and I just kind of go that I haven't liked the way that Jessica Ai's looked against anybody. I don't think we've seen her make much improvement the past few years. I think Barber is probably still doing a little bit of improvement. I think ultimately she probably just forces this fight to the ground. She's got a kind of dominant enough top game where she could make this a boring fight and you know, drag it out three rounds and clearly win two or three rounds. So I don't think it's going to be the most exciting fight. It's not the most exciting pick. There's not a whole lot of value betting someone minus 245. But again, I've seen nothing from Jessica Eye to make me. There's plenty of knocks on Barber. I just don't think there's enough positives with Eye, you know, to justify that. So again, kind of a bottom of the barrel pick. It wouldn't have been one of my first ones, but if I'm going to choose a side on that fight, I'm going Barber.
It wouldn't be a bet draft if I was not on the opposite side of at least one person. So I'm glad that you made that pick, Dan. Keep the tradition alive. Yeah, it was a bottom of the barrel pick kind of for me as well. I see your points. I obviously Jessica Eye's fought. I think it's fair to say higher level competition than Macy Barber so far, but still, you're right. I mean, if Macy Barber wins this fight, not to contradict my own pick, but the wrestling, the top game is kind of the route to victory for her, and she can definitely get the win that way. So you will see, my friend.
Getting 2-1 odds on Jessica Eye too. I mean, that would make it a much easier pick, you know. So I get it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Amy, you gave your pick a little bit earlier. Hopefully it wasn't one of the two ones, one of the ones Reed or Dan just gave, but the final pick of the UFC 276 betting draft, let's hear it.
Well, I got to go with a little bit of tradition here. When Cowboy was originally scheduled to fight, God, I don't even remember who it is now, whoever that was, I picked Cowboy.
Lozon?
Yes.
Joe Lozon. Then,
yes. And then when they were rescheduled, I picked Lozon. And now I'm going to pick Cowboy.
We're back.
Yeah. My reasoning for going against him the second time was because I felt like maybe that sickness was like a little bit of an excuse, or like I was worried about him cutting weight again so close. But this, he's not going to, you know, it's 170. I don't know. I don't like betting against Cowboy. It's one of those feelings. And I think today at Media Day, he seemed really confident. He seemed really relaxed. You know, the things he was saying in his first interview about his kids being there and being able to see him fight for the first time in like that kind of a element, is again going to happen now because they didn't get to see him last time. I don't know. I just, my heart says Cowboy. I'm going all heart picks. Going with Cowboy again this time.
Welterweight should help him. Should do him a solid, give him a little bit as we lose Ian. Somehow I'm the only – at least I made it with the three of us. But, yeah, I mean, being up at welterweight should help him with the weight cut, but I can't back you there, Amy.
It's okay. You don't need to.
Am I back?
You're back.
You're in.
All right. So there you have it. Another head-to-head pick there. Go Donald Cerrone, then you went against him, and now you're back on Donald Cerrone. I like it. I'm a Jim Miller guy through and through, so I can't agree with the pick, but who knows? We've seen crazier things happen. That's the conclusion of the draft. Let's wrap it up with the final graphics so we can see everyone, what everyone's draft is looking like heading into the card. I went three underdogs, very rare for me, especially as of late. Max Holloway plus 155, Brian Barberina plus 100, Jessica Eye 2-1. Reed's coming in with Sean Strickland plus 100, Duplessis minus 125, and then a big underdog in the main event, Jared Cannonier plus 325. Dan went Jalen Turner minus 155, Jim Miller minus 220, and then Macy Barber minus 250. Amy, you went Green plus 145, Gabe Green plus 145, Pedro Munhoz plus 225, and then Donald Cerrone plus 180, sticking with all three underdogs as well in true Amy fashion. There you go. Any other big topics from the card that we need to touch on? Anything else from Media Day, Amy, that you saw that you did not mention?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Izzy offered $3 million to anyone who could provide concrete evidence that he has ever used steroids or knows how to use steroids. So get to work, guys.
Interesting. What'd you say he was offering?
$3 million.
Wow. All right. I might have to get to work on that. All right, then. If that's everything, thank you, Dan, for jumping on for the UFC Bet Draft. Best of luck. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Stupp, DanStupp, and all of his work over at Action Network. Best of luck, like I said. Yeah, and everyone enjoy the card this weekend, and we'll be back next week. Talk to you then.